The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is Corduroy's Best Halloween Ever, and this is based on the character created by Don Freeman. It was almost Halloween. Corduroy and his friends were getting ready. They went to pick out a pumpkin for Corduroy's Halloween party. There they are in the pumpkin patch, looking at pumpkins. There was so much to do before the party. Corduroy raked the leaves. Rabbit, Puppy, and Mouse tried to help, but jumping in the leaf piles was so much more fun. So there poor Corduroy is trying to get rid of all these leaves, and his three friends are jumping in them instead. Corduroy and his friends helped Mrs. Pig decorate her store windows. She thanked them with a hot, delicious pumpkin pie. Yum! And here the friends have decorated her store windows with a scarecrow, a happy scarecrow dancing, and a happy skeleton, and a ghost, and a great big orange pumpkin. Back at Corduroy's house, they all started talking about their costumes for Halloween. And there they sit eating the pie as they talk. "I'm going to be a pumpkin," said Mouse. "I'm going as a lion," said Rabbit, "the king of the jungle." "My costume is a secret," said Puppy. "It's really great. I want you all to be surprised." Corduroy was worried. He didn't have an idea for a costume yet. What would he wear for Halloween? Later, while Corduroy was shopping for his party, he spotted a whole bunch of costumes. Finding a costume would be easy with all these choices. Corduroy tried on the lion costume. Roar! He looked ferocious. But then he remembered that Rabbit was dressing up as a lion. He tried on the pumpkin costume. It fit perfectly. But oops, didn't Mouse say he was going as a pumpkin? "I know," thought Corduroy. "I will be a scary witch with a pointy hat." But then he remembered something. His friend Dolly wanted to dress up as a witch. Then he saw the perfect thing, a dinosaur mask. "Wow," thought Corduroy, "I could make a great costume to go with that mask." Corduroy went home to work on his costumes. He found an old pair of green pajamas and some scraps of fabric. He cut, he glued, he even sewed. And finally, he was finished. And there he has his costume on and his old green pajamas that he's putting things on to work. And it looks like going to be a good costume. Halloween night finally came. Corduroy was so excited for his party. Ding dong! The doorbell rang. Who could it be? The party wasn't supposed to start for another hour. Corduroy opened the door. Puppy looked very sad. "Corduroy, I had the best costume and it fell apart. It's all in pieces. What should I do?" Corduroy thought about it. He loved his costume, but Puppy was so sad. And Corduroy knew that friends were more important than costumes. "It's okay, Puppy. I have a costume you can wear." "Really?" said Puppy. "But Corduroy, what will you wear?" "Don't worry, I have an idea," said Corduroy. But he really didn't. What would he wear? Corduroy thought and thought. He thought all through the party. It was a really fun party, too. They bobbed for apples and carved jack-o'-lanterns and ate cookies and punch. And there his friends are. They're having a great time at the party. They don't have their masks on, but Bunny has a nice lion costume, and Of course, the puppy now has Corduroy's dinosaur costume. And there's the bear in his friend Bear, the blue bear, is in his pumpkin costume. And there's his friend Dolly. There's his friend in a witch costume. But poor Corduroy is just himself. They even danced the monster mash. It was almost time to go trick-or-treating, and Corduroy still didn't have a costume. Suddenly he had an idea. He carefully moved everything off the table. He held up the tablecloth. Perfect, thought Corduroy. He cut holes for eyes and a mouth. He looked at the punch and stain, cookies, chocolate stains all over the tablecloth. I am a ghost who just came from a Halloween party, said Corduroy. All his friends laughed. It was a great costume. Let's go trick or treat. And there's Corduroy. He's wearing the tablecloth, but it's just a paper tablecloth that he bought specially for the Halloween party, and is decorated with little pumpkins all around the edges. And he does look good as a ghost, who just came from a Halloween party, of course. There the kids, all the friends go out trick-or-treating. Everyone loved Corduroy's costume. What a creative idea, they said. Corduroy felt proud, and Puppy loved his dinosaur costume. Everyone was happy. They got a lot of candy from trick-or-treating. It was the best Halloween ever. And that's the end of Corduroy's Best Halloween Ever story. This next book is called There's an Alien in Your Book. Oh no, a spaceship has crash-landed in your book. Can you believe it? What a lot of smoke. I think there's something going on here. Blow the smoke away and turn the page. It's an alien! Look at that big round head. Yuck! And those wibbly-wobbly antennae. Double yuck! And all those slimy suckers. Yuck, yuck, yuck! Make your scariest face and shout, "Go away, alien!" Now, this alien doesn't look very scary, quite frankly. But anyways, that's just my opinion. Oh, no, it's crying. Perhaps we shouldn't have been so mean. You can pat the alien's head to make it feel better, so I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to pat the alien's head and try to make him happy again. That's better. Look, it's smiling. I do not know what it's saying, though. Do you? Now we need to help Alien get back up into space, but Zah-zee-zoo! And the alien is flying back to his spaceship. But the spaceship is broken. We'll have to find another way. Let's jiggle the book up and down. That might bounce it back into space. So I'm going to jiggle the book up and down and bounce it on the table and see if that helps make the spaceship get better again so the poor little alien can fly home. Wow, you bounced alien high, but not high enough. Try turning the book upside down. So I will do that. Now, turn the page. Maybe this will get alien back into space. Let's see if it does. I'm going to turn the page, and alien's going up, and then look, alien is standing on its head, but it's not in space. Try lifting the book high up into the air and turn the page. Poor alien is down on, upside down on the ground, not up into space. Uh-oh, alien's still very high up, but it's still not in space. And the alien looks a little bit scared. And he's holding onto the page and rip. I think I know what happened. Do you? Oh, the page got torn, but he's safe back on the ground. But aliens don't belong on Earth. They're much too different. Earth is for people and puppy dogs and frogs and bugs and fish and snails and bees and whales. Close your eyes and imagine these creatures to show alien why it doesn't belong here. Close your eyes and think about little dogs and frogs and bugs and fish and snails and bees and whales and flowers and trees and the ocean and lakes and rivers. And hang on, all those things look pretty different too now, at least to the alien. Alien, you've got boogly eyeballs, wibbly wobbly antennae, and skin sloppier than a slug, but you know what? We're all weird and wonderful. So you're welcome to stay here on planet Earth if you want. Now, if alien is going to stay, I think it needs a home in this book. Use your finger to draw a house shape here on the page, but you could do that just there on the side of you because you don't have this book with you. And then close your eyes, say za, zi, zoo, and turn the page. The house looks like a perfect home. But I think alien needs a friend to play with. Shout out loud, come and be friends with the alien as loudly as you can. And there the alien is looking out of the picture in the book and wanting friends over to play with him in his new home. Well done, it worked. You called a friendly little monster. I think he'll make a great friend for Alien, don't you? And Monster has a surprise for Alien. He's fixed the spaceship. And now they are ready for an adventure. Press the button on the spaceship and count down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And lift off. Wave goodbye to the alien and the monster and say, za, zi, zoo. And there the monster and the alien go flying off into space, looking happy to be together and ready for another adventure. Bye-bye, alien. Bye-bye, monster. And that's the end of this book. There's an alien in your book. So now we're going to read another Halloween book, and this one is about Curious George, the curious little monkey, and it's called Happy Halloween, Curious George. And it's written by N.T. Raymond and Kelly Lachman. The first part of it's called Pumpkin Patch. Pumpkins round cover the ground, vines twirl and children whirl. Cool breeze blows the leaves, happy shouts are all about. Time to pick a pumpkin out. Leaves go crunch, picnic lunch. Apple cider open wider, finger licking, pumpkin picking. Small and large are in supply. Look at that one, huge, oh my. And this one is about decorating the house. Decorations, it's called. Decorate the house upright. Perfect for a spooky night. Time for lots of Halloween fun. Celebrating has begun. Jack-o'-lanterns, scary faces. Ghosts and goblins, take your places. Cobwebs over every door. Surely tricks and treats in store. Now it's time to wait and see just what Curious George will be. What do you think he's going to be for Halloween? Now, George could be a ghost inside a big white sheet. Or he could be a monster who gobbles every treat. Or he could be a black cat. They jump from here to there, just like Curious George does, of course. The fun of Halloween is deciding what to wear. Oh my, what will George be? A monster, ghost, or cat? It looks like George's costume includes a yellow hat. And that's just like the man in the yellow hat. That is Curious George's friend. Curious George here has a yellow pointy hat, a yellow shirt with really long sleeves on Curious George. They're hanging over his hands. And a yellow tie with black polka dots, just like the man in the yellow hat usually wears. I think that's what Curious George is going to be, maybe. Who could be behind that mask? Who could it be? Oh, who? He's ready now for Halloween, so he can shout out, "Boo!" There's Curious George trying all sorts of masks on. And it looks like Curious George has decided to be a scary ghost. And there goes Curious George, climbing up the wall and jumping down. And there he is inside the sheet. Looks like he's chosen to be a ghost, for sure. Who's that with those little ears? Who could it be? Oh, who? The little ghost is your friend George. Watch out as he shouts, "Boo!" Who's that playful monkey there? Who could it be? Oh, who? It's George, you see. He shouts with glee, "Boo to you and you and you." Now they're going to go trick-or-treating. Trick-or-treat, costumes galore. Why, George, look who's at the door. One teeny tiny ghost in white. Two grinning pirates, what a fright. Three witches wearing pointed hats. Four mummy friends and five black bats. A bowl of treats sits waiting there, and George has just the plan. He hands them out to all his friends as only monkeys can. He's not wearing his ghost costume right now, but he's hanging down from the light, swinging in the air, and handing the treats down to the kids as they come to the door. There's their little dog with them, dressed as a hot dog. Oh, now there's a costume party. Oh my, what a party. All your friends are here, ready to join in the Halloween cheer. Astronauts, chefs, and ladybugs too. George, can you guess just who is who? They're all wearing their masks, so it's a little hard to guess. Let's bob for apples. Pin the witch on the broom. That's a good game. Instead of pin the tail on the donkey, they pin the witch on the broom. You won both games and best costume. Now George is dressed like the man in the yellow hat. It's been such fun and you don't want to go. But little monkeys need their rest, you know. And that's the end of a very happy Halloween for Curious George. And now we're going to read a book called Lady and the Tramp. It's one of Walt Disney's stories, and it's been made into a movie, which you might have seen. So here we go. Lady and the Tramp. Lady was a lucky little cocker spaniel. She had everything a dog could want. Her beloved owners, Jim Deere and Darling, had pampered her since puppyhood. They gave her the tastiest tidbits to eat and the softest bed to sleep in, and they showered her with affection. Lady returned this kindness by waking her master each morning with a gentle lick on the cheek, and when he was at work, Lady stayed close to her mistress, protecting her from possible harm. But one day, everything changed. As Lady told her friends, Trusty and Jock, Darling now seemed more interested in the tiny sweater she was knitting than in her faithful friend. Lady's pals quickly put two and two together and figured out that Darling was going to have a baby. "Babies are mighty sweet," Trusty the bloodhound said. "And very, very soft," Jock the Scotty added. "Why, a wee babe is nothing but a bundle of trouble," an unfamiliar voice chimed in. The voice belonged to a scruffy stranger named Tramp. Although Tramp had no family of his own, he seemed to know quite a lot about babies, and none of it was good. "Take it from me, Pigeon," Tramp told Lady. "A human heart has only so much room for love and affection. When a baby moves in, the dog moves out. Although Tramp's words worried Lady, she couldn't believe her family would ever be unkind. And once the baby was born, Lady saw just how wrong Tramp had been. For not only did Lady still have her family's love, she now had one more person to cherish and protect. Everything was fine until Jim Deere and Darling decided to take a short vacation. "Don't worry, old girl," Jim Deere told Lady before they left. "Aunt Sarah will be staying here to care for you and for the baby. Aunt Sarah doesn't look so nice, at least for dogs." But Aunt Sarah soon made it clear she did not like dogs at all. To make matters worse, she brought her two nasty cats along. Lady watched helplessly as they wrecked the living room and terrorized the goldfish and the bird, two mean-looking cats. They really do look mean here. When the cats headed upstairs, however, Lady sprang into action. She raced ahead to stop them from entering the nursery. The nasty creatures tried to run by her, but Lady stopped them in their tracks with a threatening growl. Aunt Sarah heard the commotion and poked her head out of the nursery. She took one look at Lady growling and the two cats sniveling, and she ran to protect her pets. "Oh, my precious pusses," she crooned, and scooped the cats up in her arms, and she carried them gently downstairs. Then Aunt Sarah dragged Lady off to the pet store. "I want a muzzle for this vicious beast," she told the sales clerk. "I have just the thing," the clerk replied, placing one of those awful contraptions over the struggling dog's face. In desperation, poor Lady ran out of the store. Outside, a pack of stray dogs began to chase her. Horns blared and tires screeched as Lady raced blindly through the streets, across the railroad tracks, and into a strange and scary part of town. Her heart pounding, Lady ran on with the strays, yapping at her heels. Just when she felt she couldn't take another step, a brown ball of fur rushed to her side. Biting and barking, Tramp fought off Lady's attackers until every last one of them had turned tail and run away. Tramp helped Lady remove the hateful muzzle, and then she told him her tale of woe. "Poor Pidge," she said when she had finished her story. "You have surely have had a terrible day. What you need is a night out on the town to cheer you up." Tramp led Lady to a quaint little Italian restaurant, and there they shared a delicious plate of spaghetti and meatballs, while musicians serenaded them with a romantic tune. There they are, sucking the noodles up with one long noodle at a time, and then eating the meatballs, too, because meatballs, you know, are special extra good for dogs, too. After dinner, Lady and Tramp took a moonlight stroll. When they came to a patch of wet cement, Tramp scratched a big heart in the middle and placed one of his paws inside it. Lady did the same. A silvery moon was high in the sky when the two tired dogs finally struggled up under a tree and fell fast asleep. When they awoke the next morning, Lady was horrified to realize that she had spent the whole night away from home. "Ah, Pidge," Tramp said, "there's a big wide world out there just waiting for us. Why go back at all?" "Because my family needs me," Lady replied, "and I need them. Besides, who will protect the baby if I'm not there?" Tramp had no answer for that. He simply bowed his head in defeat. And even though Lady was sad to leave Tramp, she could hardly wait to return to her family. But when Lady got home, an angry Aunt Sarah was waiting for her. "I have a special place for you now," Aunt Sarah snapped, as she led Lady to a doghouse in the backyard. "This will keep you out of trouble," she said, chaining Lady to a stake in the ground. Poor Lady! That night, Lady was moping around the yard when a big gray rat scuttled out of the woodpile, scampled up the porch railing, and darted into an upstairs window. "That's the baby's room," Lady cried. She dashed forward, but was jerked to a painful halt by her chain. Lady barked frantically to attack, attract Aunt Sarah's attention. Aunt Sarah finally appeared at the back door, but only to yell at Lady. "Stop that racket," she said, before slamming the door again. Just then, Tramp raced into the yard. He had heard Lady barking and had come to help her once more. "There's a rat in the baby's room," Lady said, and with no thought for his own safety, Tramp ran inside to get the rat. Tramp reached the nursery in the nick of the time. The baby lay sleeping in the crib, and the rat was ready to pounce. Tramp struck first. Fur flew and furniture fell as dog and rat tore around the room. The rat was fast and fierce, but he was no match for Tramp. By the time Aunt Sarah burst in, there was no sign of the rat, just Tramp and the topsy-turvy room. Aunt Sarah thought that Tramp had been after the baby, and she quickly called the dog catcher. "Don't come back, you vicious brute," Aunt Sarah warned Tramp as Tramp was carried off to the pound. As soon as Lady explained what had happened, Trusty and Jock took after Tramp. They chased the dog catcher through the dark and stormy night. When a taxi appeared out of the fog, the dog catcher's horses reared up and his wagon toppled over. Jim Deere and Darling were in the taxi. They had come home and discovered the rat. It was clear then that Tramp had been protecting the baby, and so they went after him. He was a true hero. Jim Deere and Darling decided to take Tramp into their home. "This is where you belong," Jim Deere told Tramp. "You're part of our family now." And soon Lady and Tramp had a family of their own, three pretty pups who just looked exactly like their mother, and one mischievous scamp who clearly took after his father. And there they are, the two dogs watching their puppies and the little baby girl who is sitting on the floor and sort of playing with the puppies. So they look really happy. What a nice family. So that's the end of The Lady and the Tramp. Well, we're getting close to the end, so we have time for one poem. This is "Barry Had a Pretty Bird, Feathers Bright and Yellow. Slender legs, upon my word, he was a pretty fellow. The sweetest note he had always sung was much delighted Mary. So often, where the cage was hung, she sat hearing her canary." Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.